Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this pre-recorded broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm your host, Mark Avery from SimTrainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. You can visit us on the web at sim-trainer.com and call us at the range at area code 937-293-3914 or stop down and see us. Our range is located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from the AES Ohio Power Company Maintenance Yard. We'd be glad to discuss with you any of your firearms needs and interest. As I mentioned, this is a pre-recorded show, so I obviously can't take calls today. You can still reach me by going to our website at sim-trainer.com and clicking on the contact tab to open the form and send an email. If you have an immediate question, the range is open until the show is over, and you can call there directly at area code 937-293-3914. If the staff member on duty doesn't have an answer to your question, I'll answer as soon as practical if you use the contact tab and send an email. So today, this is a kind of a special deal. I've got two guests with me today, people who some of you have probably heard before if you've been a longtime listener of the show. Both of these gentlemen have been on our show before. We have with me today Joe Eaton, who's the program director for Faster Saves Lives, and Jim Irvine, who's the president of the Buckeye Firearms Foundation. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining me today, and I'll give you just a few moments to talk about your two organizations and what it is that you do and how all of the things going along with some of the recent shootings, you know, is related to the programs and the things that you do. Joe, why don't you go ahead and start?
Certainly. The Faster Saves Lives program is just one of the programs that is ran Buckeye Firearms Foundation, and our focus is preparing specifically schools and generically churches, businesses, or the general public, and training them on how to respond in active killer types of events. Our base program includes 3 days of firearms, general crisis, emergency management type of training, along with trauma medical specific training. And we've been running this program for over 10 years now. We are not aware of any other program in the country that has trained as many people or had as many lives saved as we have. We've already had over 3,000 people from 300 different school districts across come through our program, and we've got five more classes on the schedule for this summer.
That's really super. Jim, tell us a little bit about the Buckeye Firearms Foundation program and how that ties in.
Yeah, it's Jim Irvine with Faster Saves Lives and Buckeye Firearms Foundation. It's a nonprofit educational foundation. And as Joe said, we started this 10 years ago. We really were, after Sandy Hook, it just became where, look, we realized schools didn't know where to go get the training, and they couldn't afford the type of training we wanted them to have. And we realized, look, the community can't do this, and the staff can't do it. And what we can't afford is we cannot afford to lose another classroom full of kids. So the foundation said, we're going to do something about it. And we took under sponsoring the class and fundraising, and we now have grants from the state. And we facilitate this program by putting together classes of educators and clergy and business owners and get them with world-class trainers. And look, that's an easy term to throw out there, but the people, John Benner, who's doing that, who designed the program, Andrew Blueball with Apex Shooting, and John's with TDI, these guys literally are known nationally and internationally and revered for what they have done. This is their livelihood. This is not a weekend type of instructor. These are true professionals in the field, and that's who we hire to do this. And same thing on the medical side. We're going to some of the best in the country, and I think the world, on how to do this stuff. We're always looking to make it better, looking to make improvements and refining things. And I've talked to people in two different states today that are looking at bringing us in, and I just know Joe's had other conversations. This program is recognized at this point as being the best such program in the country. We're very proud of that, but it's not because Joe and I are so great. It's because Joe and I knew, and others in our program knew, the right people to get to hire. to put together to teach this program and to keep making it better year after year.
So tell folks a little bit about what this program includes and the kinds of, not a full syllabus of the course sequence, obviously, but just what people might expect if they were to try to get into the Faster Saves Lives program.
Yeah, the program, like I said, it really covers from the point of time for when violence comes into your school, your church, or your business. How can you best save lives? And every expert will tell you, once the violence stops, the only way that you save lives is by first stopping the killing as soon as possible. And that means having someone there with an effective means of stopping these killers. The second way that you save lives is by then stopping the dying, by having the tools and training in there to start providing medical aid as soon as the situation is safe enough to allow it.
That also includes having the proper equipment and supplies available to these people.
That's right, the tools and the training. And then when the professionals get there, because they are coming, it's just going to be a few minutes till they get there, you know, then you have actual patients instead of victims that you can hand off to the professionals. So firearms are a part of it, because that's a very effective way of doing the first part, is stopping the killing. It's not always needed in all these situations, but you want to always have it as a last resort option. Even our level one program, the staff that we run through there, we have them at the end of the 3-day training qualify to a level which exceeds what we require for law enforcement here in Ohio. Ohio can pass their qualification test, pass-fail rate. We use the exact same test, but we hold all the school staff to a 93% pass-fail rate. You know, another large part of it is just how do they manage the large chaotic crowds? How do they, learn to direct people to do the most good? How do they prepare for the arrival of law enforcement? Because the last thing any of these school staff want to do is to become a victim or be mistaken for the killers when the law enforcement arrives. And, you know, more importantly than the trauma medical training, because with these type of devastating injuries you see in these active killer events, you have got to start medical treatment as absolutely soon as possible. Even 1 minute to 2 minutes will cost many, many lives, that delay. So that's what we do. We give them these skills. We run them through the 3 days of training. At the end of it, we run them through some forced decision-making skills where they get to put into place the skills that we've shown them, and, you know, they get to build their confidence. And that's a key part of it, is they've got to test it and they've got to trust themselves, because even by the time you get to day three, some of them are unsure. And when we get to the force on force and decision making drills, they start seeing it all come together. And that's really empowering, because they see themselves making a difference. They see themselves making the situation better, and they no longer feel helpless like they did when they had absolutely no way of dealing with this situation.
And that really is something that we've seen in the aftermath of many of these situations, where the people who were on site really did feel exactly as you described. They felt helpless. They felt completely out of control, and they didn't know what to do, and they didn't have anything they could do that would make them effective until after it was too late for far too many people.
So interesting, we had a guy in class, and it was last year, the year before, and at the end of the class, he came up and told me the story, and I said, hey, that's cool. Would you mind telling that to the class? He's like, I'll try. So his story was, he was at the finish line with his wife running the Boston Marathon. She finished before the bomb went off. So after she finished, to make room for other people who have their family members crossing the finish line and want that moment, they left that location just as a kind gesture shortly thereafter the bomb goes off. And he didn't know it was a bomb. He thought maybe one of the cranes fell over or something else. We just don't think in terms of the type of violence that these things have. The innocent mind does not. And so they're being pushed away, and he sees news coverage on, I think it was like a McDonald's TV or something. And he said he's always haunted him that while people needed help and first responders are rushing in to help, he was running away. And he's just never felt good about that. He goes, but I never knew what to do. I didn't have training. He goes, this has changed my life because now I have the skills and tools to immediately start helping people. If I'm ever in that situation again, I don't have to have that sick feeling in my stomach. I can be proud of the knowledge and skills I bring with it. And it was, I mean, he was in tears. Other people were in tears. One of the most powerful testaments on the training that I've ever heard. It was just really, really special. But that's, there's so many stories like that. This, the bottom line is, this is proven and it works and it saves lives. The name that we, Joe came up with years ago, Faster Saves Lives. It is, defines exactly what it is and how it works.
Now, FASTER is an acronym, is it not?
It is. It stands for Faculty, Administrator, Safety Training, and Emergency Response. So the training's no good if you don't have the response to come with it. FAST is nice, but you need the emergency response, the FASTER. And it's funny because I've had people, oh, I don't know about that. I'm like, well, somebody has a heart attack and you call the ambulance. Do you want them to come fast or slow?
Faster,
well, everybody
yeah.
wants faster. Yeah, what about a stroke? Same thing. Well, what about a car accident? You know, do you want to sit on the side of the road for an hour or do you want somebody to get there and kind of get vehicles off? Over and over and over again, faster saves lives. The faster we get a response to a critical situation, the better we can do it. Your house catches on fire. Would you like the fire department to come faster or slower? Faster saves your house. It just, we all know this intrinsically. So it's a great acronym, but it defines perfectly what the product is and why it is essential to have in your schools, your churches, your businesses.
There's a lot of discussion after any one of these mass killing situations about what do we do? What should we have done? How can we prevent this from happening? And there are all kinds of proposals that come out. The president just came out with additional gun control. And the gun control lobby is out dancing in the blood of the victims within minutes after events like this occur in many situations, which, of course, that, you know, for someone who has thought through some of these things, that is not going to work. And that's that you're not going to stop the bad person from doing something by making it more difficult to access the tools they used. It's nothing wrong with the tools. It's how they're used and the people who have problems and decide to do evil things. Evil does exist in this world. Yeah. So what is it, you know, how do you respond to those kinds of comments?
Every town had commercials on national TV before they'd finished identifying the bodies. Because that's their priority.
They have those ready to go.
Yep. Yeah. And they've got the money and clout to do it. And that's their goal. It's they're trying to ban guns. There's others, you know, that's one trick pony. That's what they say because that's all they know. It doesn't work. It's a failed idea. It's kind of like I don't know, various other notions. The Earth's flat. You know, we thought that for 1,000+ years, but it's wrong. It does. We know that today. We know gun control is a failed idea. Some good people don't. There's a lot of good ideas that come out. We need better counseling. We need better awareness. We need better stuff to see these things come in and detect them and stop them and help people before it gets to event day. There's tons of good stuff out there that's totally different than what we do by people who don't like what we do, but they have good, viable ideas that do work. And we should be doing this, all of this stuff that saves lives. The problem is it doesn't always work. And you need something for when everything else fails.
That's really
that's what our program is.
Okay.
That's what we bring to the table.
Outstanding. I need to take a first break for the hour, but we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is Mark Avery with Jim Irvine and Joe Eaton. Or Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and I have two guests with me today, Joe Eaton and Jim Irvine. And Joe, we were talking about just before the break about how getting a fast response back helps to minimize the damage. So there are all kinds of ideas about what people think is going to keep these things from happening. So let me just throw this to you. What do you think we need to be able to do for both of those?
Well, we hear lots of alternative solutions put out there every time one of these events happens, especially from the ones that want to restrict the lawful ownership of firearms. But the fact of the matter is we'll never eliminate violence in society. We live in a violent society, and that is always going to be there. Now, that said, there are lots of things that schools, churches, businesses, and others can do well ahead of event day to prepare for that. You know, schools need to have the doors locked, single points of entry, sign in, sign out. You know, they need to have counselors there looking for and train the staff, looking for changes in behaviors and attitude. You know, they need to have people that are watching social media and the tip lines that other concerned students can put in. But finally, and that's where our program focuses, because there are a lot of other people working on this stuff ahead of time. And, you know, maybe we will change society, but that's not something that's going to happen by next Monday when the schools come back into session. That's a generation-long problem. So schools need, when they open up Monday morning, a solution for when everything else falls apart and somebody shoots their way through the door and starts murdering the staff and students. And that's what they look to us for, and where we can provide that final step. We hope nobody gets to that. We work with the schools to get the other layers in place. But regardless of the fact, if we eliminated every gun magically somehow disappeared off of Earth, there would still be people committing violence. We saw it just 2 days before the event. There was a guy in California who broke into the school, was kicked out of the school, proceeded to get into his car in which he had explosive devices, run over 3 kids, get out of the car, and try and stab the police officers. You know, there been there in any way, shape, or form. And the other unfortunate thing is that was not devastating enough to even make news outside of California. But violence continues to happen, and schools have got to have a plan in place. The one thing I've said to many schools over and over, and it really aggravated me when we first started this program, is schools like to have plans and controls and checklists and know what's going on. And they would do this for everything except for violence. And for violence, they said, we're going to wait on outside help and let somebody else deal with it. And it was strange, because that was the only thing that they took that attitude on. And it's ridiculous if you look at it. If you've got somebody in the school that falls in a swimming pool, you don't simply dial 911 and stand around and wait for the professionals to get there. You jump in the pool. Your staff is all trained in CPR. You pull the kid out. You start saving his life. And then when the professionals do arrive, that's when you have a patient instead of a victim to transfer to them. And they've got to look at violence the same way. We'll plan everything else, but what if everything else goes wrong? And that's where Faster Saves Lives gives them that last stopgap to save lives.
We need to take a break and head into the news in just a few seconds. When we come back, I would like to talk a little bit more about some of the things that we can do to perhaps be more aware of what might be coming, prepare for that, and then look at some of the alternatives that have been selected, and then how to prepare for what happens after the fact. Guys, thanks for joining me today. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on a pre-recorded show. If you would like to learn more about Shooting from the Hip, if you're new to this program, you can go to our website at sim-trainer.com, click on the radio link or the radio show link, or you can just go to sim-trainer.com/radio and you can see our podcast. You can see links to our Facebook page and some of our other social media feeds, and you can download the show and listen to it later. Before the break, we were talking about some of the things that people need to be prepared for, some of the alternatives that sometimes get thrown around after there's a mass shooting, a mass killing, and the way to prepare for it, and some of the things that you might be able to do to be more aware of what's going on and then be better prepared to be able to deal with some of the aftermath. Jim, let's just talk about that for a minute.
Well, it's a great question, Mark. So our first class, we had a superintendent that, I mean, he's a hunter, he's a gun guy, he's one of us. And he says, look, this is all really cool training, I like it all, but I have concerns. I don't see how it works in my school building. I don't see how this fits in our setting. I've got all of these concerns. You know, it's gonna change the tone, it's gonna change the feeling. People are gonna be upset who don't like guns. So he had and I said, well, you know, we don't know yet. Let me know how it goes. So it had been a few months and I called him up and I said, hey, haven't heard from you in a while. How you had all these concerns, where are we at now? And he said, oh, well, none of my concerns were valid, but I've got all these new concerns now. I said, oh, all right, what are your new concerns? He goes, well, nobody knows I'm carrying a gun. It's all very covert. It's very easy. It fits in perfect in our school. But what I've realized is I've got other security issues because I start looking at things differently and I've realized all these holes and I don't know what to do about them. I don't know who's carrying a gun. He had identified all of these other problems with his school because he's got his head in the game by carrying a gun. It changed the way he looked at his building. So we started addressing those things. We've seen other schools where they had an active killer planned at their school. I mean, this was well into the planning stages. It wasn't imminent. They're still debating on, do we kill everybody right away after we line them up, or do we take them down to the creek and torture them and then kill them? So it wasn't imminent, but a long way along. So when they looked at this, what they discovered is, look, these kids had a viable plan. Had they come to execution with their plan with our school resource officer, they probably would have succeeded. This was law enforcement's assessment. But what they didn't realize is we had other staff armed. We believe they would have never made it to the school resource officer because the armed staff would have taken them out first based on what their plan was and how things were laid out. Law enforcement's assessment. So it's showing that this works. But the cool thing is the event never happened. And part of the reason why is because the school has a program in place and staff have training in their mindset. They see things that other people miss. Just like, look at the Virginia Tech killer. He went to a shooting range, laid targets on the ground as walking up and down the line, shooting them in the head, laying on the concrete floor. All of these people saw it, but nobody said anything about it. By getting our schools thinking about violence and aware of what can happen, they can see it coming and detect it and call law enforcement and stop it before it ever happens. That's the ultimate success right there. It's not the teacher shooting down somebody in their classroom. It's the event that never happens because they understand and they're proactively looking for problems and see them coming before they happen.
Yeah, and the event that never happens obviously doesn't lead the media either. So you never hear about those. Even if it's been intercepted and the information got out enough to stop it from happening before it occurred.
Estimates are, in our country, our schools and law enforcement do pretty good at this. The estimates are a minimum of hundreds, possibly 1,000 times a year, an event is stopped before it ever comes to fruition. Our schools and our law enforcement already do a pretty dang good job at that. That's an impressive number. But every year, several happen that aren't discovered. And that's where we need to have something in place for those happenings. We also have to realize on the backside of COVID, all of the stuff with COVID from the lockdowns and everything else that went on, talk to any counselor, anybody in social services, it is an enormous problem amplifier with mental health, with addiction, with suicides. They have all gone through the roof with COVID. Well, guess what? Our active killers are very closely associated with mental health issues and suicide issues. So what we have done, our nation's experts, unanimous, we have grown a whole batch of these killers, and it's going to get ugly, and we need to be able to respond. We need to be, we've got increased numbers and threats. We have to have an increased awareness and ability on the response side. Otherwise, it's going to get worse, and we don't want that to happen.
One of the suggestions that I've often heard mentioned, and some of the national talk show hosts have talked about this particular option, is taking retired police officers and retired military and having them work as armed security in the schools. Has that something that's been considered? Have you thought about that particular option?
We've had several schools that have looked at that among other options. And, you know, it is certainly a viable option in some situations. It's like anything else. There's good and there's bad with it. The one school down here in Southern Ohio that I particularly work with on that, because that was what their school board wanted to look at before they actually authorized any staff. And the news focuses it as arming teachers. It is, they choose the staff regardless of their position. It is not the teachers. It's the administrators. It's the coaches. It's the gym teachers. It's the lunch ladies.
And it's only those who are willing to do it. It's not, I mean, nobody's being tagged with this.
Exactly right. And that's the key, is picking the right one. And truthfully, the biggest hurdle that they came up with and why they ended up going ahead and authorizing staff was these other outside people, even if they could afford to employ them on a full-time basis, they then have to cover additional people for vacations and time off. If they call in sick, you know, they have a tough enough time keeping staff fully in the buildings as it is, without trying to take on the additional burden of managing what is basically a volunteer type of security force. And they just realized the additional work in there was still not going to provide them the needed benefit. And the bigger problem is they already know their staff. They understand their staff. And while nothing is 100%, if they know who is coming to help them, if they know what the training this person has had, and they know what they're trained to do in these situations, it gives a lot of control back to the schools instead of relying on an outside help with who's going to show up for law enforcement, or, you know, we know this retired guy, but we've only met him now for 3 months. And again, it goes back to having the safest and the most effective program by schools having that control from start to finish.
The other thing, as a retired military, I mean, I'd be perfectly willing to provide what support I can, but I can't think of a job that would be more boring on a daily basis, because the number of schools there are times the number of people that would be necessary to do that, and you compare that to the number of these events that occur, you're talking about the chances are it would never happen in your school. You have to recognize and prepare for the fact that it can happen. And I think that's where that some of the problem occurs, the mental leap from, well, it probably won't happen here, to, but it can happen here.
And that's right. And we're doing a disservice to our school staff, where every time one of these events happen, we see it. There are staff in every building who will willingly give up their lives and stand between a murderer and these kids. And as society, we owe it to those people to say, you know, what do you want, so you have a chance of going home at the end of the night? You know, the staff are going to be there no matter what. Their policy says they're going to go do everything they can to protect these kids. So, you know, why not utilize that person that is already in there, that has that personal connection, that has that love and desire for the kids, and let them have a chance of surviving and going home also?
To me, that says the best possible solution we can have is having people who are already there, who are also prepared to step in a situation when things aren't going the way we hoped.
Exactly. Having a plan is the key. We said in our press release, the absolute only way that you get this number of dead and wounded is by you have a place where the victims have no way of defending themselves, and your only plan is to wait on outside help. Otherwise, there is no possible feasible way that you get these type of mass casualties from one person coming in with a firearm. And it plays out time and time again. The unfortunate reality is the victims inside of there were totally defenseless, and they had no option to protect themselves until somebody from outside came in with the ability to stop the threat.
The only person there with a gun was the bad guy.
We've had this tossed around as I don't want my kids in the middle of a gunfight. I was like, well, until somebody else shows up, it's not a gunfight until somebody else shows up. It's a firing squad until somebody else shows up.
Yeah.
And that's what we have right now.
And that's really tragic. I know that it's hard for some people to get their brains wrapped around this because they really and sincerely believe that this shouldn't happen in the schools. And I can't argue with that. It really shouldn't. But because it shouldn't doesn't mean it won't. And so you have to prepare for the things that shouldn't happen but can.
It's just like kids and cancer. Children should not get cancer. No child should have to go through that. But they do. And if we as adults go, well, we don't think it should happen, so we're not going to treat them, a lot more kids would die. Well, if we adults go, we don't think there should be violence in schools and we don't do anything about it, a lot more kids die. It's the exact same mentality. And it's not acceptable with cancer. Everybody gets that. It's not acceptable in schools. And they need to wrap their minds around it. It's really a change in mindset. And the schools need to understand that they are the ones with a legal and moral obligation to protect the kids in their care, not law enforcement. They're not there. They don't have custody of the kids. The school has custody of the children. It's just like my obligation as an airline pilot. I have a legal and moral obligation for the lives on the airplane. It doesn't matter if I lose an engine or if the weather's bad. I can go, well, it's okay. They can die because the weather was really bad. No, it is my job to see through whatever hazards come. And it's an obligation. The schools have the same thing. They've got to return. Oh, the kid had a peanut allergy. Well, then you better have an EpiPen. You know, we've got AEDs because that might happen. Violence happens, and the schools must be prepared for it. If they don't have tourniquets, compression bandages, and chest seals, and somebody trained how to use them and treat those trauma injuries, they're negligent. The law enforcement community has changed drastically over the decades because they're sick of losing people on their watch. The medical community has completely reversed tourniquet teaching from what they did for 100 years because they don't like losing people on their watch. Our enlightened educators seem to be the last ones to learn and adjust. If we treated medical stuff like we did in 1980, that's called malpractice. If you're doing school safety like we did when we were in school in 1980s, that's negligence. It's not acceptable. The schools need to raise their game and properly care for the children in their care for any foreseeable threat, and this is one of them.
We've been doing fire drills in schools since before I was in school, which is half a century ago, and we haven't had kids lost to a fire in school because they all know what they need to do. The parents, the kids, the faculty, the staff, everybody has a place to be. They know exactly what they're supposed to do, and they practice it. But we don't have the same kind of preparation for an event like a mass killing.
And if we go back to when fire drills started, it's the exact same argument against. It's going to scare the kids. My kids shouldn't have to be worried about fire. This is the fire guy's job. We're going to wait on the professionals to get here. And what we see is we lost more kids to fires than we're losing to violence today. And parents got sick of it. And then because no one is afraid of the fire guys, we like them, we trusted them. And they said, look, the school's got to do this, and this and these other things. And they did. And in 60 years, they haven't lost a kid on their watch. How cool is that? Well, let's copy. There's really nothing new and novel in the FASTER program. What we did is we look at success. Look at the fire guys model, overlapping redundant layers of protection. Hey, let's copy that to violence. It works in every other place it's tried, and it works against violence. It works. So our educators need to go to school and learn and become educated on this stuff. It's ugly. It's uncomfortable. I get it. No one likes talking about this stuff, but no one likes dealing with kids with cancer. But thank God that we have doctors and nurses and St. Jude's and all of these other entities that are doing us so much of a better job than we did 40 years ago. But it's time for our schools to have that same mindset with our kids.
You know, we have a great listening audience, and I need to take a last break for the hour, but I want both of you to give, after we come back from this break, tell people how they can get involved. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
Welcome back to the show. We just have a few more minutes. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and with our guests, Joe Eaton and Jim Irvine. Jim, go ahead and talk about some of the things that people can do to help get involved.
They've got to get involved. Don't trust your school staff. I keep saying they need to raise their game. They don't know that yet. They think they're doing a good job, and they do a good job at so many other things. So if you're listening to the show and you're aware, take this issue to your school board, to your principal, your superintendent, and give them the information. Ask them to learn. Ask them to get involved. Ask them if they have trauma kits in their schools. And if they don't, they need to get working on it. Get involved and politely encourage them to get involved in this stuff and start learning. If they want the kids to learn, the educators should be learning too.
And the same thing goes for churches or workplaces or other organizations that would like to get that same training, that would like to get that same preparation for something bad to happen. Doesn't have to be a shooting. It could be just a tragic accident or an earthquake. Or I mean, we don't get those too many around here in Ohio, but you could have some sort of a mass casualty event that doesn't include evil. It's just really bad. And being prepared for those things can help you make sure that people are, again, able to be patients rather than victims. Joe, tell us a little bit more about how people can get involved and how they can contribute to the program and get more of this available.
The best resource is the FasterSavesLives.org website. We've got lots of information on there in our resources directory. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which runs almost entirely on private donations. There is a donation link. You can donate right online. Every bit goes right back into the schools. And the other thing, if you want to stay up to date on this and what we're doing, the apply for training link on our website will get you on our announcement list, which is a very low volume email list that just lets you know when classes hit the schedule, when we're doing different events, and can keep people informed on what's going on.
Guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to talk to us today. This is a program that, you know, every time we tend to let these things fall to the back of our mind until something snaps it back forward again, like the shootings that we've recently experienced. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time and talking to our audience, because I know that they are people who want to be prepared and want to be able to do what's necessary in an extreme event. And getting other organizations ready to do that as well is just something that I think is going to really ring true. Thanks very much, Jim Irvine and Joe Eaton. Thanks very much for being part of the show today.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a great afternoon.
Real quick, I just have a minute or so left. We've talked several times about a new class that we're planning to offer at SimTrainer called Permitless Carry, and that class is now available. It is scheduled. If you go to our website at sim-trainer.com, under classes, you can find it. The first class will be held on Sunday, June 12th, the day before Permitless Carry goes into effect in Ohio, from 1 to 6 p.m. If you're interested in getting that class, go to our website at sim-trainer.com, sign up for the class, and then call the range or stop by the range to make payment and confirm your slot. Thanks very much for being part of the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.